You're listening to Additives Included
with Sean
and David.
I have ADHD.
You do.
You're listening to
News to me.
Not for thee. Hey, hello, hello, hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Additives Included.
I'm Sean.
No, he's not. I'm Sean, and that's David, the one and only.
And today we're joined by Mr. Jeremy.
Hello.
Welcome. I'm glad you made it out tonight to your own house.
It was a pretty easy task, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, you know.
I was kind of there, and you guys were here, so.
Yeah.
We just came, knocked on your door, said, hey, ask your wife if she'll make some t-shirts for us. We'll make it a party. We'll record some stuff. It'll be great. Yeah, everybody come over. We'll go have a good time.
We're actually doing a mass production of our t-shirts tonight.
By mass, he means like 8 shirts.
But it's exciting nonetheless because we get, you know, our brand on our own t-shirts. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, a little bit of more promotion there.
Yeah. And thank you, Jeremy, for providing a wife to do this.
Yeah, if anybody needs a shirt, just call 1-800-DAVE'S-HOUSE or 1-800-SEAN'S-HOUSE. For us.
1-800, somebody's getting castrated.
We all love
this. Too many numbers.
We love the ladies and the wives. Let's not get it twisted. Like their nipples. What?
You can't put these two together, ever.
No, they're tits. There's two of them.
They're a great pair.
I wasn't talking about the tits. I was talking about you and Jeremy.
Oh, sorry. I had a thought while I was taking a whiz in your yard, Jeremy.
That happens, though.
I mean, yeah, taking whizzes in the yard when you live in the country is kind of a thing.
It is
the
best.
That's when your best ideas come to you.
Yeah, and that's what I was doing. I was like, this is where I'm going to get the idea. So Jeremy lives on a nice piece of property with a long driveway. And then I remember, like, the conflict when your neighbor came in and you were just like, I should have bought that land. Because me and Shauna talked a lot about getting, like, a nice piece of land where you're just secluded and in your own world. I think that's most people's goals, but it's really hard to come by these days.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why it's really why we bought this house. We never assumed somebody would, you know, put houses all around it, but...
Yeah, because it was all broken up, right, at the time.
Well, at the time, I had a full access to all of it, so... one person owned it.
3 lots or something?
No, it was actually one person owned all of it, and then farmers, how they do, they decided, like, well, I don't want to farm this anymore, I'm going to sell this off. They don't care about the woods, they just want the land, so...
Yeah, because you got farm on this side, and you've had... like corn out front too.
Yeah, it was just a small area.
Yeah,
but I think he just figured it wasn't worth his time, so he'd better off just sell it off.
But you have like what, 10 acres?
Yeah, we got 10.
10 acres is plenty, you know.
10 acres is
today's
world, it well, is pretty
I mean
dang
when you're
good.
Talking about hunting and whatnot, it 10 acres is really good for bow hunting. Firearms, especially if people are building houses around you.
Jeremy doesn't like me shooting at his neighbor's house.
No, his neighbors don't like you shooting at their house.
I don't care. It's up to them.
If they didn't like it, they shouldn't have built there.
Yeah.
And why did they? That's the question. Why did they?
Because they said, hey, this piece of property is for sale.
And yeah, you know what? You got a point there, Sean, because...
You know, I'll tell you, Faye and I are eventually, when we get to the point that it's going to be okay for us to do that, or we're going to be available to do that, we're going to buy property, build our own house. That's the whole idea. But we also want to make sure that we have enough property that recreationally I can enjoy it, like hunting and and what have you. So it'd be nice to have a piece of property that I can just walk out of my back door and start hunting and not have to drive somewhere to go. I mean... Right now, I'm very, very fortunate to be able to hunt a decent piece of property just a couple miles down the road from myself.
Are you hunting at your friend's?
I I am hunting at my friend's dad's property. And I'm pretty much the only one that's ever out there hunting or doing anything out there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And so I've got to know some of the neighbors that the property butts up to, and we all kind of look out for each other. And I'm in a very fortunate situation where, like, he doesn't ask me to pay him anything. He's like, just keep an eye on things while you're out there. Make sure there's nothing suspicious going on. If there's anything going on, take care of it. And I'm like, okay, cool, man.
You know, yeah, so that, like,
it's really cool. No, it's it's confront them, and if they're being a douche, punch them in the face or whatever. It's not that extreme. But it's basically making sure that people aren't trespassing on the property. People that aren't supposed to be there aren't there. Keeping an eye on things to make sure everything's copacetic.
But Jeremy, you hunt on your own property right now.
Well, actually, I haven't hunted on my own property in a while. I have access to the whole farmer's field. He's nice enough to say he wants all the deer gone. He doesn't hunt himself. So, I mean, that is a true luxury right there, because he says, I want all the deer gone. I just want my crops to grow. I don't want them to damage my crops. So that works out great. I mean, I really am enjoying that. Every year I text him, I'm like, hey, it's okay if me and my kids hunt all year. He's like, yeah, I want all the deer gone. But I'm not going to kill all the deer. I'm going to take what I need, and that's it. But I always have to lie to him and say, Mike, he'd be like, how many deer you shoot? I shot 16. I'm like, we shot 4 or 5. I mean, so we want to take what we need.
He's actually giving you more lead than
he wants me to shoot every deer that's out there. Wow. That's what farmers mostly do. So
because it's like protecting their
income. Losing money. So
Not only that, but farmers get a certain number of tags or whatnot to protect their fields, so they can hunt pretty much year round to protect their fields. Up north. Your uncle's place, I know your cousin Travis was telling us about how many, tags that they would get and whatnot, and they'd go and hunt and whatnot. And so they're hunting out of the normal season, but it's, farmers and whatnot get those tags.
So from it's kind of like DNR
to be able to protect their crops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably just. That's not just our state, though. That's got to be like...
Oh, I'm sure there's other states that do the same thing. I mean, I know that Michigan does it for the farmers.
We're mostly overpopulated. You see that? You won't see that in Indiana. Well, you see a little bit of it, but Indiana has a lot lower deer population than we do. Yeah. Ohio's a little bit better, but they do a lot of better management than we do.
Yeah.
As far as Michigan goes, we have a higher doe population than... in most other states, so.
And that's the crazier thing. Yeah, there's a lot of...
Dope?
There's a lot of...
We have a dope problem, too.
Kill all the dopes.
Dope.
There is definitely a lot of dope. Like, the property that I hunt, I was telling Jeremy earlier that the property that I hunt, I see doe all the time, but only during the rut do I see bucks. So you really got to be on top of your game. It's not about luring them in on that on a smaller piece of property, because the property I hunt is like 58 acres, but it's only about 10 to 12 acres of wooded property. And so getting the deer to the property, I mean, it's not about food plots and all that, because obviously it's all being farmed. So there's a lot of doe there, and so... the bucks will come during the rut and chase the doe.
How many acres did you say?
The total property, I believe, is 58 acres, but there's about 10 to 12 acres of wooded property. Yep. And that's what I'm hunting primarily, and not the field so much.
It's kind of a good balance, though, don't you think, Jeremy?
You'd be surprised, though. If you reduce the doe population, after a while, you'll see 10, 12 bucks a day, because they're searching for the does. I mean, if you get rid of a lot of your heavy doe population, you keep a few main ones, you probably keep, a small percentage of it, and you'll see a lot more bucks, because they will start chasing more. I noticed that the most once they had that early doe season. We all thought it was a bad idea. So once that actually started taking implemented, you actually started seeing a lot more bucks more than you would see does. So
gotcha.
It does make a difference.
See, and the property that I hunt, I think my chances of shooting a deer in general are better early in bow season to like the, I don't know, like basically the month of October, beginning of bow season till the end of October. So like October 1 to October 31st. And then things start dying down because the rut hits like right around Halloween. And once the rut is gone, I think the deer really just start getting a little bit more scarce, and they start coming out later and later in the evening, so you don't see
so
as much.
Speaking of, you know, the comparison between bow and gun, what do you guys prefer? Like, what do you think is more? I don't know. I guess which one's more challenging, but which one do you enjoy more?
I enjoy bow hunting more.
Yeah?
I do.
I think I would, too. If I was a hunter, I think I would rather bow hunt than gun hunt.
And
just because
honestly,
I love guns, but there's something about shooting a bow that takes you to a different place.
I mean, I've just in recent years switched over to a crossbow. Because it's legal here. But
Jeremy,
I honestly enjoy hunting with a compound bow more than anything else.
It's a huge difference. I mean, it's night and day. Like there's so much more work that goes into shooting a compound than it does a crossbow. I mean, my kids shoot a crossbow just because they couldn't shoot the poundage, but
I think crossbows scare me more, though, because when you cock that thing back, like, you feel like there's such a tension and power and pressure that, like, I feel like that the string or line, what do you call it?
It's just regular. It's real, still a string, but
yeah, like it feels like that would take your finger, like right.
Oh, it can. Oh,
it can. It's so short. So,
let me tell you a story. One of my buddies that I coach football with, he when he was younger, actually took the tip of his thumb off because he had his thumb up
crossbow
with a crossbow, and
whoa.
So I mean, it's been reattached, but he said he can't like grab a drink with that thumb.
So
because
his lead arm, doing the support, his thumb was up,
yeah,
and it caught. Wow,
yeah. So,
oh my God, dude,
that just comes with education, though. I mean, you really got to know what you're doing.
Well, and he's a guy that grew up around hunting and everything else. It's something that in his family that's what they did, and it was just an honest mistake. It was still, I think, it was when he was still in high school that it happened, and he was like, man, it was just a stupid mistake that I made, and it's easy to do, so you really got to think about this stuff when you're going out there, because just the slightest mistake can cost you, especially with a crossbow. So,
but like with a compound, it's like you wear that wrist guard, and you're mostly in the clear.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know many people that wear a wrist guard, but if you have the proper draw length and everything else, you don't got to worry about it.
Oh, I was just listening to Joe Rogan had somebody out, and they were talking about the new compound bows, and they were saying how a lot of people do wear the wrist guards because he said one of his friends had actually shot his bow, and he wasn't wearing anything. It was bare skin, and it bruised his whole inside of his forearm.
Yeah, if the draw length is too long for you, it's going to hit your forearm. That's why you got to get your stuff fitted, you know, and make sure you have the proper length.
So go to a shop.
Right. Well, I mean,
if you don't know what you're doing, you definitely should go to a shop. Because your arm actually should bow out a little bit where it doesn't hit your arm. So.
Okay.
Right. If you're hitting your arm, that means that you've got the wrong draw length.
So if you're fitted, not even be an issue.
Right. If you're using that wrist guard or a forearm guard or whatever to help protect you from the string, then you really need to go get everything checked out because you don't got the right draw length on there. You're drawing back too far, and that's when it's going to start hitting your forearm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, because I have a bow that I've got to get the string shortened up because it's too long of a drawback for me. So
it's not just like the overall bow length; it's the length of the string.
Well, the modules itself change the draw length on the bow. Certain bows are different. Some are you don't have to have the module.
Like the
some
compound
just,
part.
Some you
like
just
the
move
actual
you,
wheel.
You can, yeah, you can kind of do them without a vise and just kind of adjust them. But if you don't have it right tuned, it's kind of like a suit. A suit should be finely tailored to you. Same thing as a bow. It's got to fit that person. You can't just take one bow and have it expect it to fit you.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you really got to kind of dial it in.
Because it really, and that's why, you know, I really like and appreciate bows, though, because it's kind of like an awesome sports car. Like, it becomes an extension of you.
Basically,
like, when it's done right, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a machine that's, like, there.
No two people are the same, so you kind of got to adjust it to what you need. The only issue I ever see with anybody having, like, issues with a bow as far as they use the wrong arrows. You can get your arrow can blow up and kind of injure you, but... You know, unlike a
say that again.
You can actually get injured by a bow. Some people use the wrong arrows. There's certain weights to arrows, so if you don't use the right weight, it can actually blow the arrow up.
Like that shit will like basically burst on you.
Yeah, more people are afraid of crossbows, but you know, compound bows can be just as dangerous. So just because you use the wrong arrow, it can blow it up because you have a certain amount of poundage on, and you have a too light of arrow, it can splinter. So.
God damn, man, that like. Is kind of bypassing the whole Robin Hood shooting the arrow through itself.
Well, yeah, that's where I come down to. It's got to be tailored to you. You got to make sure this arrow is right for the bow. This bow fits you. Everything's got to fit right. Mm-hmm. So,
when was the last time you got your wife to shoot a bow?
Quite a few years.
Has she ever shot a bow?
Yeah, she killed her first year with a bow.
Did you shot a bow? I didn't know if you shot a bow or not. I knew you shot guns before, but I didn't know.
She shot her first buck with a bow, so.
Faye killed a deer with a volleyball serve one time.
Yeah. No.
Good job, Faye.
That was just one of your dreams.
Oh, that didn't happen?
Not in real life. Just
oh, I swore. You didn't kill a deer with a volleyball serve?
If you did, I've been doing it wrong all
these years.
No,
but she's killing you with her stare right now.
Yeah, she would. She would. What do you think about... I remember, just real quick, I did not mention that we've known Jeremy for hundreds, about 200 years. But I remember talking to you way back in the day when we were discussing the difference between vanes and feathers and the argument there, because there's still old-timers that swear by feathers.
I mean, I'm a big... The feathers are nice, except for when it rains. I mean, of course, it has an impact on your shooting. Feathers get wet, that's kind of when they went to the veins.
So then they, like, stick.
Yeah, well, they kind of mat down, and they kind of have an impact on the rain. But veins are just a lot more durable, and now they went to, like, the little shorter, you know, 2-inch veins compared to, like, the 5-inch veins they used to have. Nobody wants a 2-inch vein.
You like a lot of veins there, don't you?
But anyways, now they went to like the little shorter veins, and they're a little more.
Are these veins blue, Jeremy, or red?
Like technology's changed. They used to have the 5-inch veins. Now they have like the 2-inch veins, so they're just as accurate. So
Tiff is calling for the purple people eater.
She's like, I want 10-inch veins.
Purple-headed yogurt slinger veins.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Nobody wants a 10-inch vein, okay? There are 10-inch veins out there, but nobody really wants a full 10-inch vein.
Who do you talk to? There's people.
Hey, your guts are your guts. I mean...
I'm not talking about the main one, just the general ones.
I mean, there's vital organs in there.
Yeah. Anyway,
but that's what you
I know
want.
I don't want a 10-inch
But that's
vein.
What you want, right? With the shot is it's a vital organ shot.
Yeah. Wait.
You want to penetrate deep.
There's way too much maintenance with a 10-inch vein. That's all I'm saying.
10-inch vein. Okay.
Well, anyway, there's just as much accuracy with a 2-inch vein.
Hey, you know, a 2-inch vein can easily become a 4-inch vein if you go 2 in, then 2 out.
Yeah. Just double it up, man. Just double it up. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Now, is it better to shoot them in the front or the back?
Typically, you like to shoot towards the front.
Yeah, I like to shoot right on the front. Yeah.
I'm like, if you shoot towards the back, you're going to have a messy situation, so.
Yeah, because then you have to.
Nobody likes a gut shot, so.
Yeah, like, you have to do the stinky cleanup.
Yeah, yeah, you just don't want to deal with that. So always stay towards the front.
The front, okay. Yeah. And that's more acceptable in society also.
Yeah, it's just in general. It's just a good rule to follow. Stay towards the
Sean
front.
Sean is dying right now, yeah, by the
not
way.
Not
because
too far towards the front. Just kind of, you don't want to hit way in the
left,
back. You know?
Left their microphone.
Sean's on pause. Pause for impact.
This is the most I've laughed at one of our podcasts ever.
Well,
but it's all accurate information.
And it is. Because if you take what you're shooting and stick it right in the chest of your target, and then say it's a doe and she goes down.
Come on. I don't know how to answer this. Definitely shoot a deer. You have to stay away from the shoulder bone. Always shoot behind it.
But what if you hit it in the breastbone?
It's not a good idea shooting the breastbone. You probably could shoot through the shoulder if you have the right broadhead. But anyway.
I just seen a video of it said the perfect front shot. And it was an elk. And this dude freaking pulled back. Went right into his chest. And it stared and looked angry at him, and then he starts to go woozy, and then he just goes, and his front legs buckle in his knees, and he goes ass up, face down, never even took a step, just stared at him angrily, and then like death set in. It was freaking crazy.
That's not
dude.
A high percentage shot. You don't really want to. I mean, you shoot like 80 pounds, 70 pounds, whatever.
But it was right. I mean, it was right center mass.
But
front
somebody
track.
Shooting lower poundage is not going to get that same result.
You just, right. And,
I mean, that's a lot of cartilage
honestly,
to shoot through. So.
And not only that, but for that deer to react that way is probably shooting a mechanical blade, not a fixed blade. Would you agree, Jeremy?
I think mechanical,
like one that shoots open, like
yeah. I think the fixed blade shooters kind of take more risk, like as far as like I can shoot through bone, I can shoot through this. Mm-hmm. Mechanical, we kind of know our limits as far as you're not going to shoot through bone. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, if you're shooting 80 pounds, possibly, but they're going to break off. Your best chance is shooting broadside with a mechanical, but fixed blade, everybody thinks they like, oh, I can shoot lengthwise of the deer. You know, right. They're going to take a little more risk. But
yeah. I'm not sure what. They didn't mention anything about equipment, but, I mean, this thing was huge, dude.
But ideally, you don't take a high-risk shot like that. I mean, just shoot
and
through the chest, through
straight
downs.
I would say 40 yards, something like that. So he's pretty. He walked
actually,
right up on him in a meadow.
It's very close for an elk. Here in Michigan.
Yeah, I don't think he ever knew he was there.
Here in Michigan, you know, you draw for a tag, and if you actually get drawn, you only get one tag in a lifetime for a resident in Michigan to shoot elk.
Yeah, my dad actually got one back in 96. So.
Nice.
Yeah, I got his elk in my garage, and he shot that with 270. He wanted to bow hunt, and it was a big deal back then. I mean, they put in the newspaper, like,
local man gets elk tag, you know.
Yeah.
Every time I go in the garage, I pet him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a big deal. He wanted to shoot with his bow. He ended up, you know, shooting a 270 just because he couldn't get any private land access with the bow. Everybody's like, I want you to come in, shoot elk, and then leave. So it was like a lot of landowners didn't want you to mess around. But he ended up shooting on state land with a 270.
Your dad ever get a moose?
Nope, no moose.
No moose?
Michigan doesn't really have moose tags, so.
Did he ever talk about wanting to go out and getting a moose in Canada or anything like that?
My grandpa actually went moose hunting quite often. He went up to Canada moose hunting. He just never got one. But I'd be so scared to hunt a moose.
We'll have to have Doug on here because Doug went to Canada and got a moose. And actually, And I was down in Cleveland at his place like a month ago, and we had all kinds of moose. Moose this and moose that. And
he's
moose.
Actually neighbors to Drew Carey.
No.
Oh, okay.
But
I'm wrong.
I'll tell you, so far, out of all the deer family, moose is my favorite.
Oh, to eat? Like,
yeah, it's really good.
It's real lean.
It's very good.
So is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would expect it to be lean, But being a larger animal, wild,
game in general is more lean.
Yeah, because they're not just standing around all day in a pen.
Right.
So, but it wasn't gamey or anything?
No,
or?
It was delicious. Is what it was. Yeah, it was very good.
Okay. Have you had bison?
I have.
So
bison's good, too.
Compared to bison, what do you think? As far as, like, differences, what's better?
I mean, I don't know. I like deer. I like the deer family. The moose was probably the best wild game that I've had.
Okay. I think the most crazy thing, I mean, obviously I've had deer, love to eat cow. But if you don't want to eat meat, you know, that's cool. You don't have to.
If you're a poultry person, go turkey hunting.
No, yeah. Like a lot of people like to eat fish or pretend that it doesn't count, but it's like it's still an animal, it's still meat, you know,
right.
It's still fish.
But, yeah, fish is good for you.
Yeah,
in many different ways. I'm not a big fish guy. I don't do seafood so much. I will have like I'll do fish in a fish fry, like bluegill, perch, you know, panfish type of stuff.
Yeah, I can eat it.
It's not really fishy. You know, that stuff isn't really fishy. And so I'll have some of it every once in a while, like when my hunting buddies and I get together, we'll do a fish fry, and I'll eat a little bit there. I don't eat a lot, but I'll eat a little bit.
I tried an ostrich burger.
How was that?
Weird.
Really?
Yeah.
I can remember when we were up at your uncle's place in Caseville shooting ostrich eggs. I mean, they were emptied out, you know.
Yeah,
ostrich farming, but
my uncle used to have, I believe it was 6 ostriches, I think.
Yeah,
they would collect eggs, and for a while we had a shop, and they would drill and drain the eggs and make crafts and art out of the eggs.
See, I'd rather have the eggs for omelets, man. Like,
yeah,
one egg omelet. Boom.
Well, I'm pretty sure they ate
them. He did eat some. Yeah. But it's crazy, dude. They're big as hell. They're like,
yeah, that's what I mean.
They're like
that's
8
like,
inches.
That's what he should be. Like Flintstones.
It's like a dinosaur egg.
Yeah.
And then we had, I'm sorry, Sean, what were you saying about?
Oh, we used the emptied egg shells as target practice.
Yeah, and it worked.
Yeah.
Because he's like, dude, these are just sitting around. I have no use for these.
Right. We're like, hey, we can shoot clay pigeons or we can shoot empty ostrich eggs. Let's shoot the ostrich eggs.
That was when I had my pistol up there.
Mm-hmm. Because we did clay pigeon shooting then too. But
you know what we've never done in there? Well, since I was a kid anyway, is you think as much as... You know, we're down to go fishing. We never go fishing when we're up there.
No, but it's not as easy because if we're going to go to, what's the name of the lake right there?
Huron?
No, not the Great Lake. The lake that's like right down the road from their house.
Oh, they just call it there's a name for it.
I can't remember. Either way, it's not easy to get in and out of. And
yeah,
you got to have
nickname is the Bottomless. Like, right. They call it the Bottomless Lake because it's kind of comes with a whole myth legend thing. And it's like they don't know how deep it really goes because the muck, it goes super deep and then it's all muck. And the muck will just continue to go. There's always jokes like, oh, hey, if you want to get rid of a body, go up there. Like, they'll never find it up there. And they're probably right because it's freaking... disgusting. You like it's not a lake you would go swimming in. It's like
no,
a swamp.
There's actually a lot of people that do a lot of duck hunting on that lake, right?
Yeah. Geese and duck. Jeremy, did you?
I never have. No, I haven't seen it.
No, I mean, did you ever go used to hunt duck though, didn't you?
I did for like a free youth hunt. My dad used to take me down the river. He's like, one duck flew up, I shot. He's like, well, that's about it. That was our season, so.
And it was, but was that with blind or without?
But yeah, my dad was big into goose hunting. He used to go and just give me all the meat. He likes to shoot them, but not like.
So I'm gonna call you out right now.
Hang on,
Sean, call him out. Sean, I will let you do this.
Jeremy just texted his daughter. to bring him a beer when he's sitting right next to the fridge.
I don't know how much cord I have.
You got plenty of cord. You would have reached.
Yeah, we don't. Who wants to risk it, though?
Yeah, it was a risky situation.
There's a reason I had kids. Now look so I can get my own shit out of the fridge.
I was wondering. I was like, damn, man. Like, who's Jeremy Tuckson? And then here comes a beer delivery.
You have to see what level of respect your kids really have really like for you.
Four, he's 4 foot away from the fridge.
Probably two. I would have had to get up. Walk two steps.
Oh, that's so great. Okay, Jeremy, what were you saying? Oh, blind or no blind? That's where we're at.
Blind or no blind?
Blind or no blind?
You talk about goose hunting and duck hunting.
Yeah.
My dad used to do a lot of goose hunting. He used to give me all the meat. He didn't like to eat them. He liked to shoot them. So it worked out. I like to eat them because they really have opportunity to shoot them. So
it's crazy targeting.
I mean,
you know, because you have the leading and
it's different.
You know,
I went duck hunting one time. It was a blast.
I went. Was there a fucking dog that just laughed at you like an asshole when you missed?
Honestly, though, there was nine of us out there hunting. It was so the property that I hunt now, same guy used to own a different piece of property. It was like 420 acres or something. And so nine of us went out and we set up three.
You say 420?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's a fucking property.
And so we set up in three different spots on the property, you know, three people at each spot. And I think we walked away with nine of us. I think we walked away with about 21 ducks.
That's pretty good.
It was in about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was a great morning.
Did you get Emilio too?
No, I didn't get Mr. Estevez.
And they were so mighty that day, were they?
No, they were not. You took the V down.
But, I mean, we had wood ducks, teals, mallards.
Duct tape.
It was pretty cool.
Stupid.
Yeah, you're an idiot. But anyhow,
no, I'm drunk.
Same difference.
Yeah, go ahead.
They had some tales to talk about, though. Woo.
So,
sorry, Sean.
I don't remember where I was going. It was a great time.
No, you got like 21 ducks. Dude.
Yeah, that's amazing, dude. That was a good day in anybody's book. So.
Talk about getting your ducks in a row because...
Right, because we lined them up across this board and took pictures afterwards. They were literally in a row.
Well, to get 21, you would almost think you would have to be like, okay... There's one, patoom, there's another one, patoom. Yeah, like, it's just like leading.
I'll tell you what.
Going right down the line.
I shot two that morning. Jeff, which was on a previous episode, his dad shot like 6, 7, 8 ducks or something like that the same morning. Mm-hmm. And his Uncle Larry, his dad, and I were all in a group together. We were the three at one pond. The gun he was using, he felt like he broke his finger because he had such a bad kickback on the gun. But he's like, oh, there's another one. Boom! Ah!
Like, did like the finger jam thing?
Well, because of the recoil and the way it was hitting his finger, it was just killing him, man. But every time he saw a duck,
he
couldn't help himself but shoot at another duck and... I mean, every one he shot at, he got, I'm pretty sure of.
That's pretty good, though. I mean, ducks are hard to hit. They're fast.
They are. Yeah.
Jeremy, I have to ask you about, we have to talk about this on the show.
Oh, man, I knew this was coming.
I know.
No, you didn't. I don't even know what he's talking about.
I don't either.
Well, I don't know if you've heard this story, Sean.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard it either. Tell the story and I'll let you know.
Well, Jeremy has to tell it, but... There was a night when he was out hunting. Remember, you were telling me that story when you felt like something was stalking you.
Oh, yeah. I remember that like it was yesterday.
And
because it was.
But
it wasn't yesterday. It was a couple years ago. But
did you talk
to your... It was yesteryear.
Did you call your dad during that event?
No, actually, I called my wife.
But you talked to...
Back in my day.
No, okay, Sean, you got to listen to this story.
I'm listening.
No, I was actually out bow hunting, And I was walking out hunting.
Where at, though?
Out in Mason area.
Michigan.
Yeah. I was walking out hunting, and all of a sudden I see these eyes. I'm like, I didn't figure it was no big deal. I thought it was just a deer, you know.
These eyes have seen a lot of love.
Well, anyways.
They're never going to see another woman like they have with
they
you.
Were staring at me. Anyways, I was walking, and then I walked probably another 40 yards, and then...
These eyes. Stupid motherfuckers.
I got a tree stand. I was walking out from hunting, and I seen these eyes here, and then...
But it was pitch black.
Yeah, I shined my flashlight over there, seen eyes. I didn't think of no big deal. You know, there's a lot of shit out in the woods, whatever. And I walked another 40 yards, and it's following me. Deer don't follow humans. They just don't do right. that. You know, I thought that was a little creepy. I'm like, okay. Walked probably another 60 yards. It's still following me. I call my wife. I'm like, there's something following me out of the woods. This is very abnormal. It wasn't a coyote. And then wherever I went, it was walking with me. So coyotes don't do that either. That's just an abnormal
thing. So the behavior was totally off.
Yeah, it was a little strange. So I probably walked another 60 yards. It's still following me. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to die. Something's following me. Something's trying to kill me. This is very abnormal.
But I mean, how often did you see the eyes initially and then, or was it continuously?
It was initially, but then it was walking with me. And there's no really...
But, like, you could hear it / sense it that it was sticking with you out of the woods.
Yeah, I kept shining the flashlight over there, and everywhere I went, it kind of was right in line where I was walking, so...
Oh, dude.
It's very abnormal. Which was kind of weird, though. Like, a couple days before that, my dad had shot a deer, and there was something walking through the brush while he was gutting his deer. I'm like, there's something in the brush. He's like, shine a light over here. Don't worry about that. I'm like, there's something walking towards us. I'm like, it was...
Same area, you mean?
Yeah, it was similar area. Okay. Yeah. Something was kind of coming through the brush towards where we were at, but he kind of ignored it. But then I told him that story after that. He's like, I'm taking my gun from now on. I was like, he was kind of scared from it, you know what I mean?
It was Bigfoot.
Yeah, it was something very...
Face mom's seen Bigfoot.
Like, I've hunted here for my whole life, and it was very abnormal.
Okay, speaking... So, it's in Michigan, and in my experience, Michiganders don't talk that often about this, but there is the whole Dogman story.
Dogman?
Have you not seen?
No.
We all live and grew up in Michigan, but yet...
You know Dogman?
I know Chupacabra.
Other states know more about Michigan's lore than we do.
I don't know about Dogman.
I've heard of Dogman.
Dogman is our Bigfoot in Michigan.
Apparently, I think it was a Bigfoot. I think more likely, because a few months after that, I seen cougar reports in the area. So
you're thinking...
I think it's more like cougar than over Dogman.
Oh, and there's been bear reports in northern Jackson County. Yeah, northern Jackson County there's been.
Whoa, no way.
There's actually been one in this area.
Not very far from us.
Some guy had a cougar sighting over here, not too far from our area, so...
Well, yeah, we had a cougar right around the corner from my house.
Well, there's been lynx.
A couple years ago.
There's been lynx sightings in Jackson County, too.
Is that your mom?
Oh, bobcats are everywhere.
Yeah.
We actually have...
Cougars?
Actually had seen a cougar in Springport.
Shut up.
So, she witnessed a cougar walking along a field. We turned around and seen it.
I thought her wives are cougars. What are we...
To this day, we still...
Is that different? I thought our wives are cougars.
I think maybe she just seen a reflection in the mirror. She's like, hey, there's a cougar.
There's a cougar. I'm scared.
I'm pretty confident it was a cougar.
Yeah.
Not like the old women cougar, just a regular cougar, you know, but like wild animal. But
like a cat, not an older lady.
Like I've hunted Michigan my whole life, and I've kind of... That creeped me out pretty bad. I'm like... Enough to where I called my wife. I'm like, I'm scared. You know, nothing ever scared me before. So,
what's this
such
other?
A bitch.
It's not a bitch thing when you really are genuinely scared.
No, I'll be honest. I walked out of the woods on state land before and had coyotes just howling all around me.
Coyotes don't bother me though. I'm not scared of coyotes.
But the amount of howls there were and the proximity to me that they were.
Yeah, it was like a pack.
I was like, oh, shit.
It never bothered me. Like, I'm not scared of coyotes. I'm like, this was something different.
You'll be scared of one or two, but
10? Yeah, they could kill you.
Yeah, but I was generally terrified of this. I'm like, I called my wife. I'm like, there's something following me. I'm really scared. So,
what's off air? You were talking about another experience.
Oh yeah, like we moved into this new house out here, and about 3 a.m. I heard something. It sounded like a human roar.
Wait, this house?
Yeah.
3 a.m.
3 a.m. around between 1 and 3 a.m. It happened a couple times. And it sounded like a roar, like a Bigfoot roar. I mean, I've never been enough to make your hair stand up kind of feeling. It's like there's nobody that could do that noise. So I got on the internet. I looked up everything that could make a noise like that. And there's nothing even close.
I've never heard a Bigfoot roar. Can you demonstrate?
Oh, wait, that's Chewbacca. Chewbacca.
What the hell are
you doing? Well, it was kind of like close to like the, you ever watch like hunting shows and you watch like the bear death moan? It was similar to that. And I was like, okay. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. I'm like, what the hell is that? You know, it's even if it was a bear death moan, you shouldn't hear that around this area.
So no, because we don't have bears in our area.
What time in the morning?
Between one and three in the morning. They happened a couple nights in a row, and it was...
A
couple nights in a row. It was pretty consistent. I'm like, and I had my window open.
So is it more like an echoey, like...
You know,
without the laughter.
I guess you kind of assume that would be like how Bigfoot would, or like a Bigfoot would roar. You know, it's human.
Not like a Bigfoot whoop.
I mean, I've heard foxes before. I've heard bobcats, and it would just sound like a human roar, like a, you know, kind of like how a predator roars. You know, when he gets here, you know, he's like.
What about a bonfire? No. Drinking binge.
I don't think it was anything like that because there's really no bonfires around here. Because
the vocals were more extreme than a man's.
Yeah, it was pretty strong, and I was like, it kind of makes your hair stand up. I'm like, you don't hear things like that. I've been out in the woods a million hours. You know what I mean? It's something I've never heard before, and it was pretty creepy. I'm like, okay, this happened for, you know, 3-4 nights, and then I'd never heard it again. It was during the weekdays. It wasn't like on a weekend.
I'm going to chalk that up to Spirit of the Woods right now.
I'm going to chalk it up to that there was a bear in the area for a short amount of time and realized, wow, I'm really far away from where I'm supposed to be.
Well, and he was like, shit, I'm lost.
Because
there were bear sightings around this area a few years ago. I mean... I'm even saying that there were bear sightings in northeastern Jackson County, and we are in southeastern Ingham County.
Well, they made it down. They have bear sightings down towards Ann Arbor. I mean, but
right.
It was like the more like a deer, like a bear, like death moan. You know, I mean, it was like when you shoot them and they go die. It's like a death moan.
Maybe that bear was getting its rocks off in the middle.
But
of the
why?
Woods.
But it was the same time. Each night,
yeah, it was a little different. I mean,
so
it's something
was
I've
it waking
before.
You up, or were you?
Oh, it
just,
woke me up. Yeah, it was loud enough. I mean,
did you sleep with the windows open?
Yeah, we had the windows open, and then it was loud enough to wake me up. And I'm like, well,
guess
what
you
the hell is
your,
that?
You know? I guess you learned your lesson.
Were you sleep? Were you sleeping naked?
No,
damn,
fully clothed.
What?
Weak
snowsuit, hey, everything.
Hey,
but.
hold on a second.
What?
Hang on.
What?
You're seriously disappointed.
Yeah, man.
One of our best friends wasn't sleeping naked.
Yeah, I wanted the story.
Why does
to
that
be,
matter to you?
The man has because dreams. He's
I wanted
dreams.
It to be more extreme.
Yes, he does. I mean,
he's
I wanted
got
it to
a
be
vision.
More extreme.
Who am I to interrupt his vision?
True.
I've never been interested in knowing what Jeremy looks like naked or you.
Not even a little bit.
No, 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 no. Not even shirtless.
Hold
dude.
On. Let me go get.
Sean,
like,
very
let me get.
I'm pleased with your face. That's enough.
I'll go put on my favorite shirt that just got printed by Jeremy's wife and nothing else. And then...
I hope it's a long shirt.
And then we'll see. You know, you'll get it. Like, oh, I got you there, man.
But
this is so much...
You're right. I probably will say, I got you there because I'll see the true size of what you're dealing with.
I gotta assert your dominance.
Stop making me choke on my fucking drink.
But
and
anyway,
your words.
A guy I worked with, I explained the same story to him, And he's like, he's big into like the supernatural kind of, yeah, like, as far as ghosts and stuff. So he said, he's like, well, it's a skinwalker, man. I'm like, what's a skinwalker?
Oh, fuck, dude. I don't want no skinwalker.
Especially not a foreskin walker.
Yeah, no foreskin walker.
If you get a foreskin walker, dude, you're in a big heap of trouble. Because they're really hard to keep clean. Yeah.
Beware of the hood.
He's like, watch the cheese.
Watch the cheese.
Anyway, he said it was a skinwalker. I'm like, what is a skinwalker?
I'm hunting dick cheese.
He talks about because, I mean, he has a lot of ghost sightings in this house and stuff. Like, as far as he's big into the supernatural, he wants to go on that ghost hunt and stuff like that. But he's like, well, it's a skinwalker. I'm like, what is that? You know?
He's like, I'll show you, boy.
He's like, dude, it's like an entity. It's like a spirit. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe that. But anyways, yeah, it sounds like...
Well, that goes way back, though. Skinwalkers go way back.
I'm like, I was like, what is that? I thought it was like a Bigfoot. He's like, no, it's a skinwalker. I'm like, well, I don't know what that is, but...
Yeah, you don't want to know.
Yeah.
You look up videos on it, man. You'll shit your britches.
I know there's like a Netflix movie on Skinwalker, but Skinwalker Ranch or whatever.
Yeah, Skinwalker Ranch is a very famous story. Yeah. And that's well documented too. And
I thought that was Skywalker Ranch.
Oh, there's that different too. Thing. But if there was nothing,
owned by Disney now.
If there was nothing to Skinwalker Ranch, then why did at one point the U.S. military purchase it?
True.
They sold it, but they did purchase it and they owned it for I don't know how long.
You guys are talking about Skinwalker Ranch, and I just think that's something very dirty that.
You need help with.
It's like there's something you could that could take care of that when you're born.
It's like a guillotine for your dick.
Oh my god! Wait, what? Sean, that was. I mean, because we're complete professionals here.
Not even remotely.
Experience with the coyotes. That was your freakiest moment in the woods, you think? Oh no. Sean, you didn't tell Jeremy the wolf story.
No, that wasn't the freakiest moment, but it was definitely a scary moment.
You didn't tell
I didn't see the coyotes, and that's what kind of freaked me out about it, is I knew they were close. No,
What island was that on?
We were on Drummond Island.
Drummond.
In the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we were snowshoe rabbit hunting, and the long story short of it was... we went back to the trucks to have a beverage and take a break before we went back into the woods to try to pursue more rabbits. And when we started going, one of the dogs slipped their collar. Well, didn't slip the collar. They more or less slipped the leash.
Leash.
And
how many dogs did you have? Like two, three?
Well, we were running three or four at a time, but we had like seven or eight up there.
Okay.
Anyhow, such. One of the dogs slipped the leash and went back after some more rabbits because, I mean, that's what beagles do. They're hounds, man. They're going to go find those rabbits. But when we started closing in on where the beagle was, we came to a spot in this open field and had a couple animals running at an angle away from us that when we first saw them, we thought they were deer, but they were wolves. So it was like...
wolves are completely different from coyotes. So wolves will kill you.
Oh, I mean, for sure.
They will eat your ass.
We were like twice the size. A big coyote's around 50 pounds.
But right. What's funny is, though...
But these were the biggest wolves that
They're not even supposed to be on the island, though, you were saying.
Well, no. The locals said that they aren't on the islands, but we saw the tracks everywhere, like, the day before, and we were on the north side of the island, and then we saw the wolves on the island. We're like, yeah, these locals don't know shit about shit because they're here, because guess what? Wolves can walk across ice to get from one land to another.
Yeah, and that's all frozen at one point in the year.
There were wolves on the island.
What was it, like Isle Royale, where they have moose on there, and the moose population got out of control, so they released wolves on it to kind of control the moose population. So it's kind of a similar thing. I mean, they probably had too much deer population, then they threw wolves on it to kind of control the deer population. So.
Well, I don't think they threw wolves on the island to control anything. I think the wolves just crossed over the frozen
lot of times they do things like, oh, this is like, you have a lot of states where they do like, well, we'll throw in snakes to do this, we're throwing frogs to do this, you know, right. I mean, they kind of do that right. to regulate populations.
Right, it's no different than,
that
you know,
a lot
there hadn't been a wolverine sighting in Michigan. You know, Michigan's known as the wolverine state. There hadn't been a wolverine sighting in Michigan in several decades.
Are they all the way up in the UP?
Well, last one they had was in Canada.
No, they're, like, I mean, they're in Canada. They're in the, like, in Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin does have one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they had one in the thumb area states, that was in woods and water.
Well,
that they followed that one for a while, and then they found it dead.
They found in woods and water was what crossed over Lake Ontario from Canada. Like, there was a wolverine that came from Canada back over to the U.S., that was, that had to have been 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, I remember seeing the story on it. They were following it, and then all of a sudden they found
it
dead.
But it was the first wolverine that they had seen in the state of Michigan several years.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny being
like
our mascot.
50 years. Well, I mean, wolverines used to run abundant here. You know, there was several wolverines. That's why it was the wolverine state. But then they got hunted, and you know, for their fur and what have you, and
so yeah, we basically altered that whole population,
right?
Like
they
went
away.
So many other
right
animals, but in both of you guys' opinion, the deer population is doing just fine in Michigan.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, there's plenty of deer in Michigan. If you aren't seeing deer when you're hunting, then you're not hunting in the right spots, and if you're a public land. I mean, if you're a public land hunter, then you got to know the terrain and where to go and find evidence of deer in the area. If you're a private land hunter,
so you're not just like throwing darts at a board in the dark.
No, oh, if you're a private land hunter and you're not putting out food plots and all that stuff, then you're probably not going to see as many deer.
Well, if you're hunting state land, you pretty much don't hunt where the deer are. Hunt where they're going to be, because you got to plan on pressure. You're going to have a lot of people going in and out of there, you know. Some people just want to wander around state land. They bring their dogs, whatever. Well, I hunted state land for a few years, and a lot of times you have people walking their stand. They just want to bring their dogs and just wander around the property. So you got to hunt.
But that ruins all the scent.
Oh, definitely. Right? But so you hunt not where the deer are, where they're going to be when they get pressured.
Well, and if you're a true hunter and you're hunting state land, you got to go where
so
most
like
people
waiting your
won't
target.
Go.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go where most people won't go. That means going into murky, swampy areas.
Yeah, you put in the work. You don't go half mile in. You go a mile in or mile and a half in.
Right.
I mean, you put in the extra work, and that's going to pay off. Because a lot of people are pretty, you know, general human nature is lazy. They're like, I want to hunt by the parking lot, or I want to hunt half mile in. You know, I mean, you go mile and a half, 2 miles in, you're going to start.
They want to walk 50 yards and say, I'm going to set up right
you
here.
You have to put in the work.
Say,
you
like,
have to be willing to put in the work, because it's not just going to, hunting up close, it's not going to work. You have to go further in.
So, I mean, this is just me being, not knowing what I'm talking about or anything, but it just seems naturally, if you hunt state land, you're going to drop your success rate by like 70%.
It depends on if you know the area, though.
Just because of inexperienced people coming in, not doing the proper scent, you know, procedures to, you know, descent their clothing.
Oh, absolutely.
And being loud when they shouldn't be.
You gotta
not knowing the wind, you know, the downwind situation and all that. Like, they could give away, essentially scare away the animals before you have an opportunity to, you know, do your thing.
Yeah, if people don't do proper scent control, wear the proper shoes, because you wear leather shoes, it's going to hold on the scent. You wear rubber boots,
so
it's going to reduce
leather,
that.
Leather shoes will hold scent.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, people wear, like, their gym shoes.
That's
a
good tip.
They come straight out hunting after work. You're going to be really smelly. I mean, but you, the more you reduce your scent, I'm like, you come out with dirty ass clothes or whatever, it's going to be 200 yards, a deer is going to smell you.
There's people that go in their jeans.
Some people, come right after work and like they wear their clothes. Like, I see a lot of this, like, hunters wear their clothes to the gas station. Terrible idea. Don't wear your hunting clothes at the gas station. Don't wear them before you go hunting. Keep them in a scent free bag.
Oh, yeah, because that, the gasoline, I know recently too, because I washed my golf shoes, I spilled gas on them. I washed them 3 times and they still smell like gasoline.
Oh, yeah.
So that scent is super strong.
Yeah.
So that's a good, also a good point too, because if you stop and fuel up
and you're wearing your hunting clothes, like
just you smell like your car, in the fumes.
You smell like your gas. I mean, yep. I mean, everything stinks. It stinks up that area. After a while, if you don't have any rain for a couple of days, that whole area smells for 5 to 15 days or whatever. So,
your wife just showed a additives included shirt that was printed for me, and
your mind was got blown. One?
Here, hold up. Let me.
Probably that's the best yours? Ever. That's got like extra additives to it.
Did you find a shirt to add in?
No. I have one somewhere, but
oh, that's so blurry. I felt rushed. Do that one.
That is so cool, man. Big shout out for everyone's help and assistance in getting together tonight to get some shirts printed and help promote the podcast.
And so getting back to hunting and all that.
And veins.
Yeah,
4-inch veins.
4-inch veins.
Yeah. 4-inch veins.
2-inch blazer veins would do just as well.
We in Jackson County, there's a Waterloo Recreation Area, and that gets hunted, especially when gun season starts, gets hunted heavily by people from Washtenaw County and Detroit and whatnot. So those people come over and they're gonna hunt not too far off the highway, you know, so they're gonna find all those areas closer. So if you're hunting state land over in the Waterloo area and you're somebody that's local, then you're gonna want to go deeper
into
everything, and that's where you're gonna wind up finding a majority of the decent deer, you know, the bigger and better deer, if you take the time to scout the area and get deeper into the area. I've also hunted last year. I went out and bow hunted a couple times in the Dansville area.
Dansville area has full of deer.
It is way full of deer.
I mean, there's probably, you can go there probably seeing 20 tree stands though. I mean, it is.
Oh yeah.
It is full of deer though. I went there late winter after season's over. Mm-hmm. It is full of deer. I mean, but those deer aren't stupid. They know when they're hunted. They know when people are in there. So, but if you can hunt where people don't go.
Right.
Which is, I mean, that's, you're going to have to put in the extra work. If you really want, you could find a spot year after year to where you set up a tree stand, same spot every year, nobody else goes there, you know your scent's good. Best thing to do on state land is go about 30 foot up. I mean, that seems a little high, but if you can go up 30 foot, the deer are not going to wind you. They're not even know you're there.
Yep.
Plus, you get away from the crowds. I mean, but that's your best chance. I mean, you look at, what's his name, Eberhardt. He wrote a book on hunting state land. He takes a 150s plus every year on state land.
I mean,
150s plus. He has his go-to spots. He hunts nothing but state land, and he shoots a 150s plus every year. Yeah, but it's John Eberhardt. Read his book. He knows exactly where to go. He won't tell you exactly. He'll tell you the state land he goes to, but not the spot. But he goes past everybody else. Hunts, you know the deer, you know where the deer are going to be once the pressure starts, where they're going to go to. They're going to stay there, but they're going to go, you know, further out, and maybe some deer are going nocturnal, but you wait the right time of year, they will come out during the day. So,
yeah.
But he's a big state land hunter, and he has his go-to spots all over Michigan. He does a phenomenal job.
So I'm wrong then about my statement earlier, then that was basically you've proved a counter argument to say what I said was like not completely true, because there's this guy that excels at hunting state land.
There's plenty of people that hunt state land. There's a group, you can check out their videos. We're no way affiliated with them, but the group is The Hunting Public, and they hunt public land only. And
it's not No Ma'am.
No, it's the I believe their channel is like The Hunting Public, and they hunt public land, and they get
do very
like
well.
That's all
170
they do.
200 class deer.
Yeah. It can
off
be
of
done.
Public
it
land.
Just
so and they really kind
of
give you an outline of what you should be doing if you're hunting public land, how to get big deer.
I mean, I'm not
on
saying
public land.
You can shoot big deer on state land. It's just that you're going to have to put in a lot more work than everybody else. You can't be lazy about it. You have to be, you know, conscious of your scent all the time.
Yeah, because it's not your own property.
Yeah, you have to be willing to put in more work. Right. It's the lazy people that are going to hunt there, screw everything up for a while, and then, you know, they'll quit. They're like, I'm not seeing any deer, and they'll quit. But yeah. So people that keep going day after day after day and working for new areas and putting in the work, and they're going to get the results. So,
okay.
I mean, it is a lot more work hunting public land. I know private property, I mean, I can go out here and I can watch deer from my driveway. I don't have to mess up anything. I don't have to disturb them. I'm just watching binoculars from my driveway, and I go out there, put up a stand, and I can shoot that deer the next day. You know? It's just a lot easier.
I just thought about a story when the property that I used to hunt, which is owned by the same person that of the property that I currently hunt, I went out and sighted my gun in on his property, and David was with me. Yep, David was with me. We were shooting some guns on one part of the property, and I introduced David to the property owner, which is one of my good friends, one of my best friends' dad. And we were talking for a minute, and then I wanted to show David like kind of the area where we hunt the 420 acres, you know, the property that we got to hunt.
Tree line was.
And we were sitting by, it was kind of like a carport, like a big barn type area, but it was more like a giant carport for like farm equipment and what have you. And we're sitting there, and I was, you know, talking to David about, you know, how to call a deer and whatnot. And I got out my grunt and I started grunting. And then we hear some shuffling in the woods, you know, through the leaves and whatnot. And I was like, well, it's probably just squirrels or whatnot. And, you know, but, you know, this is how you do it. And next thing we know, we have two giant bucks about 20 yards away from us. And I'm like, so those aren't squirrels, you know.
That was super weird. But
it was pretty cool. It was really cool because it came down this path, like a well-beaten path. But it
goes back to that like timing thing. It's like, not now, man.
Right, because opening day of gun season was the next day. And I'm like, if I had, you know, my shotgun was in the back of my truck at that point. And I'm like,
yeah,
if I wasn't an honest person.
Okay, you know? So.
Yeah, that's how it works, though.
Yeah.
Like you have to play a fair game. I always believe in that. So, I mean, I've had a lot of opportunities. If I have a gun in my hand, I'm like I had a monster 9-point come out, you know, 35 yards from me before, and it was the first day of late doe season. I'm like, come on, season ended. It goes late doe season. I'm like, this sucks.
So
didn't get anything out gun season.
Here, if you had a bow with you, like I don't.
Yeah, if I would have had a bow, I probably could have shot it with a bow.
I do bow season from December 1 to January 1 because I still want the opportunity to shoot a buck.
That's a highly overlooked time, though. I mean, I went out once before, and it was amazing. I think I've seen quite a few bucks. But
yep.
So we talked about the bow and a compound versus, you know, a crossbow.
Yeah. I have a couple friends that I hunt with that we go to bow camp that they use a recurve.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I've been talking to Jeremy about, he already has a recurve, I just seen in the garage. I get flashbacks of high school. We used to shoot. We had, in gym class, we had an archery section. So for a month, it was
That's archery. A very country thing to have.
Yeah, and
you don't see that in the public schools gym classes.
Yeah, this was at Northwest.
I wish we right. had. Well, I wish we had
Leslie. I could see that happening at both of those, but not in a city.
Right.
You know, this is, we're talking about outskirts.
It's cool because I appreciate it a lot because it taught me how to shoot a recurve and use nothing but intuition and judgment, you know. So I've been talking, you know, about getting one. But when it comes to guns, my question is, there's the same argument there or same opinion that you could throw out. Do you go with the rifle or do you go with the shotgun?
Well, it depends on where you live.
Same with muzzleloader guy. So.
Well, yeah, that's another thing, muzzleloader.
Because you get both seasons with muzzleloader, but recently I switched to 350 Legend. Kids use 350 Legend, so they actually legalized pretty much any firearm during muzzleloader season. So,
right, but in our area, it has to be within a certain caliber. Like, you can't use a 30-06.
Right. There's a line across, you know, the state of Michigan.
Yeah, it's got to be a straight walled cartridge. Basically a pistol cartridge.
It's like I can't remember what the caliber is, but it's like a a 229 or something like that.
Yeah, I use the 350 Legend. You can use a 450 up to a 450.
So as long as the cartridge is straight and not...
Yeah, straight wall. It can't have
not bottled.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So my beloved 308 is out.
Nope.
You can't
use that. No 223.
Why did I buy one again? Because no, if you ever want to go hunting in northern Lower Peninsula or in the UP, you can use it.
But yeah, you can convert your AR over to 350 or 450, and that makes it legal.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
350 Legend, you just change the upper. Swap out a 350 Legend upper or 450 upper, and then you're good to go.
Yeah. You know what? I should get a straight cartridge.
Get a 350 Legend. It's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of people love that. And then, what's the other one?
The
Bushmaster. No, Blackout, I mean, not Bushmaster.
300, you can't use a 300 Blackout.
No.
Nope.
That's the other style.
Nope, you gotta use 350, 450. I think they made a... What was the new one they came out with?
Your wife farted over there.
No, she didn't fart.
No,
she
everybody's smelling it. Oh,
she queefed.
Oh,
wait.
It stopped being funny when you said air coming out of your vagina.
Oh. Faye's throwing up from a Faye, stop puking. Faye, knock it off.
I'm gonna mess up your shirt.
It's not McGaggy's birthday.
No, you guys are saints and angels. We're the ones that fucking suck. We're the ones that suck. Girls do fart. I've been in the car trapped with the shit. Let's wrap this up.
Thank you for joining us, Jeremy. Thank you for
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Offering up your house and for Tiff for making us some awesome gear for us to promote our
swag podcast.
Swag.
We're looking cool. We're going to be looking cool as hell.
Fly.
Yeah, man. This has been great.
Yeah.
We'll get you back on real soon, like probably in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. And check us out. Don't forget to follow us on the Facebook page.
Yep.
Additives Included.
Additives Included Podcast is the Facebook page. Additives Included is the profile page. Either way, we share the same information on both of them. So go ahead and follow on either or. And
that's where to get updates and behind the scenes type of thing. And thanks for your interaction.
So until next time.
Goodbye.
I'm David.
And I'm Jeremy. Sean. And that's Jeremy.
That's me.
That's him.
It's him.
It's that guy.
All right. You guys take care. And Godspeed and watch out for those deer.
Yeah, peace out, all you addicts.
See ya.
You're listening to Additives Included.
With Sean.
And David.
And Jeremy.
I have ADHD.
Cheers.
And David.
Y'all know what I'm saying.
Additives.
Pop, pop, deer.